In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Back again with a Thursday edition of the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike and Spike and Fritz. Ike, how are we feeling, buddy?
Spike Lee? A little half and half here, buddy. Well, I'm feeling pretty good about one team, not so good about the other. Jackie Baseball? Told you the sun would come up tomorrow.
That's right. We're getting a star.
Holla at your boy.
Spike, you sound a little downtrodden today. What's going on, pal?
No, I'm happy the Soto thing's not dead. I'm completely happy. There's nothing wrong.
Good. Right. Glad to hear it.
We have a big show as always. I'll get into what's wrong. Big show as always. Shil Kapadia joins us at 3. Talk a little Birds. 3:30. The return of Flyers in 50 with Broads. Mike Lombardi joins us at 4.
Another victory lap.
Only to talk about the Eagles and nothing else. 4:30, John Heyman joins us, and if you remember, John Heyman was the guy that broke the Bryce Harper news years ago, so we'll talk to John Heyman about Juan Soto, and then the top 5, 5, 5 o'clock. Also, your chance to win Lincoln Park tickets. Again, you have to sing for them. This one's going to be a little bit tougher. The song's very popular, but the singing will be a little bit tougher. That'll be at 4:30.
Get ready to hit some high notes.
Yeah, the notes are high on this one. But Ike, we have to start with this ridiculous basketball team, the Philadelphia 76ers. And I sort of think of the Sixers as a television show now. And it's a television show that's like 5 or 6 seasons in, and the show's not really that good anymore, but you have to keep watching it because you want to see how it ends, and you've been watching it for 5 years already, and you know the end is never going to live up to all the time you've put into it, but you're here, and you might as well keep watching it, and that's what the Sixers are. So they lose again last night, but Joel has 35-11, which is something we said was very possible, could happen right here on the show.
Some of us even bet it.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
No.
Okay. Oh, that guy over there did?
And we were stressing for a couple minutes there.
Yeah. So they lose, but maybe you could have walked away from the game going, okay, Joe sort of looked like Joe for a good portion of the game. Maybe, who knows, even though George gets hurt again. But then there's these quotes after the game. Quote, whoever leaked the thing about the meeting is a real piece of S. Where's the rest of it? But even then, we talked about a lot of things. I don't want to go into the details, but the whole thing probably took 30 seconds. It's whatever. I'll take it all. I'm the reason for everything, so I'll take the blame for everything. More. That's the relationship we have on Maxi. Nothing malicious. I like when people are telling me I'm not doing good and I need to do better, even though that part, the lateness, maybe only happened once or twice when I wasn't playing. Okay, dude. Joel Embiid is 30 years old. He's the best player, one of the 4 or 5 best players in the league at his best, the best player on the team, and he is a complete baby. 30 years old, cannot take responsibility for anything without putting it on someone else. This is so easy to do the right way, not just for us, not just for the media, not just for the fans, but for your teammates to let this entire thing die and to show the rest of the team that you are willing to take responsibility for what is on your plate. But instead, we get this passive-aggressive baby nonsense. And he does it after he plays well, which is an incredible bummer. And it hit me. He and Bryce Harper are the same age. Joel Embiid and Bryce Harper are the same age. And I spent the entire summer saying, why do we treat Joel one way and Bryce Harper another way? And what people kept telling me, it was because Bryce had these moments during the postseason, which I think is part of it, but it's not really all of it. Could you ever, ever, ever imagine Bryce Harper saying these sorts of things after that sort of thing when the team is 2-12. Because I couldn't imagine Bryce Harper ever saying something like that.
No.
Hell, for that matter, I couldn't imagine Jalen Hurts saying anything like that either, to be quite honest with you. And it put me in a position where I understand why Bryce Harper gets treated differently. Because Bryce Harper takes that sort of responsibility and acts like a leader in this, whereas Joel Embiid continues to act like a petulant child and doesn't set the sort of responsibility for the rest of the team, doesn't act like a leader. And if anything, it's just like it's another disappointment and another sadness that we can't just get through another day without this entire thing restarting again.
Yeah, I just don't get why Joel doesn't understand. He's not reading the room at all.
No.
With this situation. He's just not, and it's making it worse, and he somehow is offended by all of this, right? It's somebody else's fault. Somebody has affronted him. I understand the Marcus Hayes piece, and that ticked him off. You know, and I'm not saying what Marcus wrote was the proper thing to do. You obviously don't include someone's family. That story could have been written without those things being brought into it. If you wanted to just talk about Joel's desire and drive and being available for his teammates, you could have got your point across without those other things, bringing in his family, bringing in his deceased brother, his son. I get all of that. I get why that ticked him off. I still didn't agree with the way he responded to it. Right? I didn't agree with the way he responded to it. If he was 23, 24, 25 years old, a younger kid, and this happens, I can understand the immaturity. You're 30 years old. You've been in this city for a long time. You dealt with a lot. You dealt with a lot. But for some reason, that situation brought out a response and a reaction out of him that it was not Joel-like. It wasn't him, at least from my perception of him. Right, you can be frustrated with Joel about a lot of things, and rightfully so. But that had a different tone, and it landed different with me. And ever since then, my concerns from that are seemingly playing out that he isn't in the right place for whatever reason. I don't know if he's frustrated with his own body. I think it's more than just the idea of he's being criticized on the outside. He's been criticized in this city before. He's been told he's not working hard enough before, and it didn't get this type of reaction out of him. Something else is going on with him. And quite frankly, I'm just frustrated and exhausted with Joel Embiid and the Sixers. I'm just exhausted from the standpoint of how much emotion as a fan am I going to continue to invest in this? All right? How many more times am I going to convince myself that what I'm seeing with my eyes isn't what I'm seeing and believe in the unseen? Believe in the hope and the faith that you may have in him that he's going to turn into this championship player and lead this team to a championship. How many more times can I do that? And I don't feel that anymore, and I feel exhausted by everything that's going on with him.
So I agree with all that, but then I come back to, and here is the sickness, and this is I think why I liken it to the TV show that you can't quit, because if in the next 10 games, we get 10 games or something, I will be right back there again.
Yeah.
I will be right back believing again.
I can't do it. And last night was a great example for me. It really confirms where I'm at. He had 35 last night. He looked good. Got to the line, 14 of 14. He's Joel Embiid last night.
Mid-range, hitting the mid-range. Yeah.
Yeah, he was Joel Embiid last night. And I was still pissed off and irritated. And that was before the comments.
Really?
Yeah, that was before the comments after the game. I didn't get moved by what I saw him doing on the court because that's where I'm at with him, Spike. Listen, and I know you've only been back for 6 or 7 months or what have you. I was carrying that mantle as the flag bearer for Joel Embiid, defender of all causes, argue with everybody at their playoff exits, everything else. People wanting to trade him 2-3 years ago. Nah, I'm not trading him. I'll ride with him till the wheels fall off. Right? I gave passionate pleas
that.
Yeah. Believe me, I gave passionate pleas, I said to myself then, I'm not ashamed of falling for the banana in the tailpipe again. I'm going to be right back on board with him. That's what I said after they lost to Boston, after they quit in Boston. You heard me last year when they lost after they lost to the Knicks. I just gotten to that point, and this, all of this has pushed me to the point where I'm just like, I'm listen, I want the best for him. I'm not rooting against him. That's never going to be me.
For sure.
But if you're talking about somebody who's got his back, no 100%, and going to support and believe in him, nah, I'm out.
So
I'm out.
A month of good games.
It ain't going to do it for me.
You're not convinced.
It doesn't even matter. I don't believe in it. First of all, I don't believe he's going to give us a month of good games.
Well, that's
not, yeah. I just don't believe in it.
Sure.
I just don't, man. And I never thought I'd get to this point with Joel Embiid. I really didn't. I didn't think I'd get to this point. But I'm starting to feel like, is he really all in at being here? Is this starting to lead towards, oh, they don't appreciate me. They can trade me. You can get me out of here. Is this what this is leading towards?
To be honest.
Save us all the drama if this is what this is leading towards.
To be honest, it sort of feels like, and it's not like I compare Andy Reid to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how the end of Andy Reid's tenure, it just sort of felt like the weight of everything. The previous, the losses, the arguments, blah,
yep,
blah, blah. It all just, it wasn't about that year. It was about everything all at once sort of closing in. And it just broke.
Yeah.
It sort of feels like for him, for us, for the fans, for everybody, it sort of feels like the weight of the last 10 years has all come to here. And we're all looking at each other and going, I'm sort of.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sick of you. Are you sick of me? And he is, I think, by the way, everyone has a point in this, and I wouldn't bet on the thing that I'm talking about. I wouldn't bet on a month from now him having 10 good, but I know myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if he shows out and they start to get close to 500 and he's playing Joel again, I know I'll fall for it again. So I just want everyone to remember today when I'm saying how I do feel, how I am angry with how he did this, how I'm actually disgusted that he is such a baby at this point, that he's acting like a child, that no one has seemed to be able to get through to him if they've even tried, that if he doesn't look around and say, I get all the credit when we win. Like, of course I'm going to get all the blame when we lose. This is how this works, right? Bryce Harper gets blame when the other guys in the lineup don't hit well, right? This is how it works. You get blame when things go bad. This, mm-hmm, you have to accept it if you accept it. But I know I'll fall for it. 215-592-9494. Could you fall again for Joel Embiid if he starts playing again? Jack, I know where you are. I know,
yes,
the answer is no.
No, yeah. No. No, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Now, you will bet on it.
Every night.
Okay. All right.
Listen. Yeah. 650 for 35 plus. Grow up, FanDuel.
Yeah.
I mean, grow up a little bit. But yeah, it just, this feels done. And if he just feels, it feels like he's tired of the whole situation. And you brought up Andy. He actually reminds me of Donovan.
I mean, sure.
And
yeah.
We love Donovan on the show, but this is kind of how he talks, you know, like, you're going to miss me when I'm gone. And for a long time, yeah, 100%. Dead right, Donovan. And I think we'll get there with Joel Embiid because he's an unbelievable player. But I think we all have that same feeling in our gut that we know where this is heading. And I'm really just waiting for the Shams tweet to say Joel Embiid's ass out. Does it feel like you're gonna wake up one day?
Yeah. Can I ask a favor of you guys? When that happens, can we just not talk about it that day? Can we just?
Oh yeah, well, we'll talk about Saquon right on that one.
Talk about Saquon
really
that day.
I really am waiting on that. And listen, I don't think it'll happen this year because it would be difficult for me to see them doing that. But season over with after another disappointing early exit, we're not going to feel any better. We're going to turn up the heat even more.
Early exit. We're going to have another lottery party, buddy.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, imagine that. Trust me. A lottery party.
I already started making calls. Reserving venues. All right. 215-592-9494. Had a convo last night about it, actually. Cosmo and Ambler starts us off. Cosmo, you're on WIP.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Well, you called us.
I mean, thanks for picking it up.
It's okay. It's okay, man.
I think once again, you have got your finger on the pulse of the majority of the fan base in Philadelphia. I called because when you first started talking about how disgusted you were with Embiid, and I have been feeling the same way, I wanted to say, well, I think by the time the year is over, he's going to want out of the city, not just out of the team, but out of the city. I think he's fed up with the fan base. I think he's fed up with the press. I think he's fed up with all the scrutiny, all the criticism. I think he's to the boiling point where I would not expect him to last into next year. And I don't think that the way everything's going with the Sixers, because he's a bad seed right now. He's spreading bad juju. He's going to ruin the Sixers' chances of being good this year. I think they'll have their little spurts in January or February maybe, but I mean, let's be honest. There's too much turmoil. There's too much going on, and Embiid's at the root of all of it. Maxey's trying to pull him up at a meeting, and he's coming out of the meeting saying whoever leaked it is a piece of you know what. My reaction is just this is just typical. Like you guys said, all three of you said, he's an immature child, and I'm done with it. I really am.
And by the way, real quick, Cosmo, to use that term in that way, he's talking about a teammate of his or somebody in the organization.
A close group. You know, Paul George said, Paul George on his podcast today, the host asked him who was in the meeting. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it wasn't just players,
sure.
But he's like, it is the group of people who ride and die with the team every day. So you would assume close coaches, maybe a PR person, but it's not, there weren't trainer, what I mean? It was a small enough group. So he was calling somebody in that group.
Right. And to use that term, I'm like, dude, you could have said anything like, man, whoever did that wasn't cool. We have this stuff supposed to stay behind closed doors. We'll handle it as a family behind. He could have said anything but what he said. So he's literally calling somebody who's either one of his teammates who was concerned about all of this or somebody that's close from the staff or that, which either way is not good to me.
But thank you for the call, Cosmo. You know what he could have done? He could have stood in the middle of that group after the game and said, hey, somebody in this group, like, we are all leaning on each other.
Yeah.
This is all private. We all depend on each other. Somebody from this group betrayed the trust of this group. And look, that's what a leader would do. Look in the eyes of everybody in that group and say, if you did it, look, I'm here for everybody. We're all here for everybody else. We all get frustrated. That's what he could have done. You don't wait until after the game and then passive aggressively call whoever did it. And you know what that's sort of like? It's sort of like, I would never do this. I didn't do it. But somebody who's cheating on their spouse, mm-hmm. and their buddy tells on them, mm-hmm. and they're mad at their buddy. Well, the problem is you were cheating. You know what I mean? Like, I can understand you being mad at your friend, but the problem is you were doing something wrong.
Yeah.
The problem isn't that it got leaked. That is a problem, but it is not the problem.
And that would be the problem between me and my buddy.
Between you and your buddy.
Yeah, when you're cheating on this and that and over there, that's between me and that person.
Me and that person,
You betrayed something else.
Yes, but that's why it's not about you doing it in the press is just as bad as them leaking.
I agree.
If you think...
Talk to them.
If you think it's Tyrese, if you think it's Nick Nurse, if you think it's Eric Gordon, if you think it's Kyle Lowry, look them in the face and say, did you do this?
Yeah.
Grow up.
Yeah.
You're 30 years old. Come on, man.
Well, and his answer to the Maxey thing also annoyed me, too. Because even with that, I felt like he was saying, listen, I was only late one or two times.
Yeah, one or two
what
times.
What is Tyrese making a big deal out of this for?
Yeah.
Come on.
And it was when it wasn't even playing. There's no way he's been late one or two times.
No.
There's no way.
No.
And by
you know
the way,
how many times you have to be late before it finally becomes an issue when you're that guy?
Yes. Yeah, but before somebody isn't terrified to actually bring it up in
by
front
the
of
way,
every-
by, we uh-oh. Or our quarterback was late every road trip damn near. Five was always late to the play.
Oh, yeah, you said that. Yeah. You had to wait around for the play.
We had to wait. You think Andy was leaving Donovan?
Right.
Now, let it have been me or somebody else. We're leaving you. And a quarterback shows up, you know, 10, 15 minutes late. We're waiting. 20 minutes late, we're waiting.
Yeah, and it takes a lot.
And it never got out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it didn't. So I only say that to say how many times something will happen behind the scenes before it actually even becomes public. It's never one or two times.
And how fed up does the person who leaked it have to be to leak it? That's the other thing.
By the way, let me just make it clear with five being late to the plane. I actually think he took liberties with that, knowing that he wasn't going to get left.
You think he was showing you guys?
Yeah,
his boss?
Like, yeah, I'll get there when I get there. Like, knowing that Andy wasn't going to leave him.
You breaking that down on Monday?
Yeah, I'm not a big late guy.
It's funny. I wonder, I probably can bring it up to him. It's been long enough. I wonder how he would actually answer that now.
Jack, get him on the phone.
Like. Why were you late all the time to the plane, man? He's gonna tell you he lived in Jersey up 295 and he didn't leave early enough.
But yeah, I don't care. You could live in Chicago.
Right.
And if you know what time the plane leaves every single week for a decade. Yeah.
I just can't wait till Monday when the Eagles like destroy the Rams in a big game. Everyone's excited. And first question to Donovan, why were you late?
Yeah,
to the plane back in.
Well, I would not ask him that way.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
By the way, to bring up, because you mentioned, because you're both saying the Eagles right now.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't say this, they have an opportunity right here to get right when people can ignore them.
Yes,
because if you just
I've been waiting on.
If you just lose or win, you trust me, we will forget about it. The Sixers, I can tell you, we have a meeting every day, 1 o'clock. We talk about what we're going to lead the show with. If the Sixers just lost to Memphis last night and Joel had 35, sometime in the middle of the show,
we would have mentioned it. Yeah.
We would have spent 3 minutes, and I would have said, Ike, what do you think? The big guy back? You're like, I don't know. He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we would have just watched the game on Friday.
Yep.
It wouldn't be this,
nope.
But you are causing this.
Yeah.
Like, this thing that you don't want just makes me mad, man.
Yeah. Like, somebody said when you slap the table like that.
Oh, sorry.
No, they just say they know that you're upset.
Oh, upset. Well, my wife actually said that. I came down from the podcast after the meeting.
Yeah.
We did it at night. I do it in my office upstairs. And I came down and she was like, when you're banging, what is going on up there? It's like, it's one of two things. I'm laughing or I'm pissed off. It's one of the two. So
and you're banging.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, when she's downstairs. There's the limited options.
It's called a big dose of D.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jack.
Yeah. All right. 215-592-9494. Again, great show coming up. Lots of great stuff besides this. But you want to get out on Joel. But the thing is, and I will say this again, he starts playing good again, and they start winning some games. I'm going to be sucked right back in. I know it. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.